Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
In the spirit of that, let's talk hockey. Let's bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Josh Getzoff. Josh, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Steve. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So let's get to what they have with this team. Let's talk about Jake Guentzel. Because Guentzel right now, he's got 38 points. He's got 20 goals along the way. You know, you see him on an everyday basis. What has allowed him to continue to play at the level that the Penguins need him to play at?
I mean, it's consistency is the one thing, and I feel like that's the one thing that you also hear guys, regardless of the sport, Steve, it doesn't matter what they're playing, they talk about that being the hardest thing to achieve on a day-in and day-out basis, especially at the professional level. And I mean, Jake Guentzel has been nothing short of consistent since he's joined the NHL. We all remember his first game, scoring on his first two shots against the Rangers back in November of 2016, and now here we are where he's just capped off and continuing upon what is now his fifth straight 20-goal season. So he's been unbelievably consistent for the Penguins. And I think it's been an interesting season for Jake because without Sidney Crosby in the beginning of the year, with no Evgeny Malkin, obviously, until the last couple weeks, there wasn't really that the premier center, that guy that he's always had with him to help enable him to make plays. And I'll admit, I was one of those guys guilty in the first couple weeks of being like, huh, can Jake Guentzel do this without those guys? I don't know. I'm not seeing enough from him as far as the individual efforts to generate offense. He has shut me up pretty quickly since those initial thoughts, those first couple weeks of the season, because he's, you know, been scoring at will. We remember, you know, whatever it was, 18, 19 straight games with a point. Was hampered by the injury that he suffered in Seattle that knocked him out for a couple games, but he picked up right where he left off. It doesn't seem to matter where Mike Sullivan has placed him on the power play he produces. At even strength, obviously, with Sidney Crosby, those two have been absolutely dynamite. And I don't see any reason why it would slow down. I mean, this is a guy that, as Sullivan said yesterday, is probably one of the more underappreciated, productive, and consistently productive skaters in the NHL today. And he continues to prove that yet again, as I mentioned, with another 20-goal season on tap this year.
Very quietly along the way, Chris Letang is a plus 17 on the season. You're watching him all the time. What allows him at the age of 34 to do something like that? Because I don't think a lot of people realize he's a plus 17.
No, this has been, and I hesitate to say this, but I really do believe it. I've been with the Penguins for 7 years, and one of those years was the amazing 2016 season where Letang was just an absolute monster as they won the Stanley Cup that year. But I think this is the best I've ever seen him play. He's been just unbelievable. I mean, to use the word again, consistent, but he's been unbelievably smart in his decision-making when he knows looking at opportunities to pinch at the blue line, making that decision in a split second, and 99% of the time doing it in a situation that benefits the Penguins, which has not always been the case in the past, especially with him. I just think that there's been a level to his game of thought that we have not seen consistently over the last handful of seasons. The speed is back. He's producing, you know, as you mentioned, at a great clip, a plus 17. He's got 30 assists now for the ninth time in his career. I just think that he's been, you know, you look at him and we'll state the obvious, he's in a contract year, and that's, you know, seems to always be something in pro sports that gets players to hit another level when there's more dollar signs involved. But I also look at Chris as a guy that, you know, from everything that I've heard him say to the media and have heard from him directly in speaking with him, he realizes the situation here with this Penguins team, and he knows they have a great chance this season. And there may not be that many great chances beyond this season with this particular core. I think he realizes the situation in front of him. He's clearly elevated his game. And, man, him and Brian Dumoulin, what a pair. They just have been unbelievably strong together, and it's been fun to watch. I mean, you never really feel uneasy with the two of them on the ice, and I don't know if that's always been the case in the past with Letang when he can sometimes ride that roller coaster.
Gina Malkin got a couple goals in his first game back. Hasn't scored since. I think he had one assist since. I think he had, two goals and an assist in the opener. And you and I both know when guys are coming back, that first game they've got jumped, then that second game they have no legs. I mean, you and I have seen that over and over again. Are you starting to see more legs from him now that he's getting back in, at least into the routine of playing?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to keep in mind, as you know, that there's 30-plus games that he was not on the ice for. It's a lot of hockey, and especially when you're jumping in at that point and a lot of the guys around you have played in, if not all of, most of those 30-plus games. So not only are you stepping in, even though your conditioning's up to speed, it's not quite a game level because you haven't played in a game, and you're stepping in a group that, you know, is up to speed and game level and also up to a rhythm and a routine. And that's not easy to jump into that, regardless if you are one of the best players in the world or not. And I think, to your point, Evgeny Malkin, when he came back against Anaheim last week, it was dynamite. I mean, he scores the couple of goals, the blast on the power play. That was an awesome moment. I think just as far as things go this season for the Penguins, definitely one of the cooler scenes on that goal. And he gets 3 points in a victory, and then, you know, the whole team kind of had a clunker in L.A. a couple nights later. And I think since then there's been a bit of a buildup back in his game. I mean, the one area you really want to watch with him, and Phil Bork and I have talked about it a lot off the air the last couple of games, is the power play, because that's the spot where I think a lot of people were wondering, what's the impact going to be of Gino here? You know, Evan Rodriguez leads the team with 6 power play goals. He had looked really good. He's not on that unit anymore. They bumped him off of it, and understandably so. Brian Rust is back now too, so that, you know, you're going with your best players on your top power play unit. But I think with Evgeny Malkin out there, it's been something that's been interesting going back to Chris Letang, is specifically in the Vegas game, we noticed it a few times. When Letang will get the puck, he's only looking for Malkin. And that has been a problem on that power play the last couple of years, where they've kind of fallen by the wayside, that there's a little bit too much of forcefulness to get the puck to Gino, and he doesn't always put himself in the best position to shoot. So I think that that's going to be something interesting to watch. Now, the Penguins, overall, they went 3-for-8 on the power play of the road trip. With how poor their power play has been this season, that's productive in my mind, and that's a step forward, including the goal against Vegas on Monday night. So I do think that that's something to watch. But as far as Malkin is concerned, what he gives them is one of the best players in the world back, and also what he gives them is something we finally get to see now for the second time tonight, first time at home, with Crosby, Malkin, Carter, and Bluger down the middle. That is a four-headed monster, and I don't think there's a team in the NHL that can match up for that player for player.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because this is the first time that they haven't had anybody on the list?
This is the first time.
Knock on wood?
Yeah, knock on wood, right. This is the first time that they will have nobody on COVID protocol since, I don't know, maybe training camp, right? That was when guys started to go down. So it's been a while. I think when you look at this group, I'm not 100% positive if Danton Heinen and Zach Aston-Reese are going to dress for this game. They're out of COVID protocol. But remember, the Penguins play tomorrow night in Columbus, and that's a division game. Not that this game tonight isn't equally as important, but it might be a lot to ask two guys that have, you know, essentially spent the better part of the last week in a hotel room to play back-to-back games. So I would not be surprised if one of or neither of them are not in the lineup tonight. The interesting thing to watch is Casey DeSmith, because he was not supposed to back up tonight. Yeah. Tristan Jarry's going to start, but Louis Domingue actually took a puck off his leg in an awkward position at the morning skate and left a little bit earlier. And Mike Sullivan said he'll be evaluated and they'll make a decision. But that would be, you know, obviously something that would be called into action as a result of an injury. But I think the initial plan was obviously to have Domingue back up Jarry tonight and then figure things out for tomorrow in Columbus. So to answer your question, yeah, nobody on COVID protocol right now. So that's as positive as things have been in a negative sense, I guess, with that testing on that front.
Which then brings us to the next one. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to any of the players yet or anybody in the organization about the NHL and their stance now, I think beginning February 1, on asymptomatic players and testing. Have you had a chance to talk to anybody about that and have any thoughts on that?
I have not talked to the players about that. I think that news came out the day that we came back from Las Vegas. So there was kind of just you know, a lot of traveling going on that day for the team. But I personally I think when you look at the schedule going ahead and just the necessity to play games and if the NHL really wants to finish this season on that set date of April 29th, this is probably the way to go. I mean, you look at what the NBA has done, the NFL has done. I know they've had their moments where things have gotten rough, as have the NHL in recent weeks. But they're powering forward and they're figuring out a way to play and, you know, for the most part seem to be doing it in a safe and respectful manner. And that's all you can kind of ask for at this point. I mean, it's definitely, I think we all use the word fluid and evolving and all those kind of buzzwords over the last couple of years. And certainly it continues to be that. But yeah, to answer your question, I think that this is a good, you know, step forward as far as if the goal is to get the season in, finish things on time, award the cup, in the early parts of the summer, then this is what needs to be done.
How crammed will the Penguins' schedule get now with the rescheduling of games?
It gets busier.
Part of that obviously is nobody's going to the Olympics. I understand that, but still.
Right, yeah. What the main thing is that February essentially was axed because of the Olympics, as you mentioned. And you had your game on, I believe it was February 2nd, the Penguins play the Washington Capitals in Pittsburgh. And then they were not going to play again until the 24th in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Basically, what's happened is games have been moved into that three-week gap, and there's essentially no break. The break now is the All-Star break.
Gotcha.
So the Penguins won't play. As I mentioned, they play the Caps on the 2nd, and then that starts the All-Star break. They are off until February 8th, so through the weekend, where they go to Boston and play the Bruins on that Tuesday night. So that's pretty much that six-day gap, five-day gap is going to be the break, essentially, for them in February. Otherwise, it's going to be essentially a normal schedule as if the Olympics weren't even happening, in another year. So that's kind of what it'll look like. And it'll be busy, but not as busy as some of these other teams. Like I was talking to the Ottawa Senators broadcasters this morning. They're going to have to play 51 games in 99 days.
Oh.
The math there is insanity. So that's not going to be the Penguins situation because they're fortunate that, they're pretty much at the midway point of the season here over the weekend. They're going to hit it in the Sunday game against Winnipeg. So some of these other teams, like Ottawa, for example, coming into this game, I mean, they've only played on the year 33 games. Penguins are at 39. So that's a pretty big gap as far as making things up in the stretch of a week. So, it's going to be busier for some more than others. I think I saw Tampa Bay only play 6 games in February. But the Penguins will be pretty consistent. I think they have about 8 or 9 now in the month of February.
Yeah, I've got to ask you about the West Coast swing also meant Seattle. So what did you think of Seattle?
I thought that building was the coolest building I've been in the NHL. it's just cool because I who didn't love the Seattle Supersonics and the old school logos there and all that stuff? So they've kept that alive in the sense that the roof is the old Key Arena roof.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was they blew things up underneath, and the rink is actually underground. It's really cool. The broadcast booths, this is going to sound kind of strange, but you have to picture the rink is probably, essentially two bowls of seating underground. So it's deeper. But the broadcast booths are on ground level.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we're calling the game, there are windows where people are walking by outside and they can peer in and see the game happening. It's pretty neat. It's just different. And they, they don't have a center hung scoreboard. They have scoreboards that hang one in each end of the rink. So that's a little unique also, but the building's beautiful. I had never been to Seattle before we went there, and I really was a fan. I'm a big sushi guy, so we had a good time on that front. But, it's great down there. And I did go to the original Starbucks, but
yeah,
it was a 30-minute wait, and I don't love Starbucks that much.
No, but at least you could say you went by it. How about that?
Exactly, right.
No, I think it's great. I thought the NHL made a great move. Preemptive, put it into a market, I think, where it's going to be exciting for them. And not only that, rain waters the ice. It's really great.
It is, yeah, it's great. I mean, between that and Vegas, they've hit 2 home runs on their last 2 expansions.
Yeah, they absolutely have. There's no getting around that. Oh. I just thought I'd ask, since, I mean, it was the first time in to see something like that. So, you know, it's great that they've embraced it. One final question is, you know, Ottawa, of course, has to come over the border to get here. When you talk to their broadcasters, how much of a struggle has it been because the rules and regulations in Canada are different than here?
Yeah, they are. They're much stricter in Canada. We were up there. We haven't been up there, you know, for probably about a month now, maybe a little bit more as I look at the calendar. But so things, I have to say, things may have changed. I may not be totally up to speed from the last time that we were there, but they were requiring negative tests. You know, I think it was within 24 hours of traveling. So you had to be constantly testing when you were coming up and down to play the teams. And their quarantine, I believe, was a little bit longer. And again, that may have changed between then and now. I'm not positive on that, but they have to abide by those rules when they're up there, obviously. And when they come down here, they have to kind of figure out ways within the U.S. government, the Canadian government, to organize things. So I just think it's probably been largely a headache on a lot of fronts for the Canadian teams to deal with. And the big thing now, Steve, is that they're playing games with nobody in the building.
Right.
There.
Yes.
You know, the Penguins are scheduled and will be in this new revamped schedule on February 10th, not that long from now. They go to Ottawa to finish this regular season series against the Senators. And as things stand right now, I was just reading something from the province of Ontario, where the Senators play, obviously, not too long ago, that they're only going to be allowed to have 500 people in the building for that game.
I saw that.
And the Penguins are going to have 18,000 plus here tonight. So it's got to be a hit revenue-wise for these teams and the workers in the building who, you know, rely on those paychecks. Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, there's a lot of people you feel for in these kind of situations that have had to adapt and adjust for quite some time now. And you just hope that, as we've been saying for a while, that maybe better days are ahead, but it's definitely a far different situation up there than it is down here.
Josh, absolute pleasure. I know you've got work to do tonight and you gave us some time today. I appreciate it. And you very much.
Hey, no problem, Steve. Anytime. And I will talk to you soon.